What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It is Wednesday, February 22nd. I am at Farley Betts, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, mostly Instagram and Twitter, because TikTok is just so annoying to me, but I'm working on it. My name is Chris R. Farley, fifth place circuit winner in the 2021 NFL Circuit Contest, 114K cash prize. I'm going to talk about that for at least 5 years until it gets really old of me saying that. Career 57% NBA percentage and betting over 100 units won. This year has been a little clunky, a weird year in the NBA, but we're doing a lot better second half of the season. Post All-Star break, I expect to be even better, and I can't wait for that as these teams, hopefully, right, things start to make a little more sense. Motivation is more even. You would think these players would really care at this point in the year as the playoffs approach, right? Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Thank you all so much for listening. I love sports betting. This is what I do every single day. Offer premium picks. If you're interested in those, you can hit me up anytime at Farley Betts. At Farley Betts on Instagram or Twitter, and I can get you signed up and on our listserv where we win, and we win very often. 7-4 last 3 days in college basketball picks. Up a few units in the NBA over the past 2 months as well. Let's keep it rocking. Finished the NFL season very strong too. Quite a few wins in the Super Bowl, including that plus 750 bet. Eagles win halftime. Chiefs win full game. That was sweet. We just have one podcast this week. Usually we have two. Just one this week, taking a little break as the association takes a break as well. But speaking of the association, I'm going to be talking about my NBA power ratings on today's show, where I rate every single NBA team, what I expect after the All-Star break, teams I would want to bet on, teams I'd want to fade after the All-Star break. I'll even give out an NBA free pick because we're really nice. I'm a nice guy. And even though I offer premium picks and you can contact me anytime, you can also see my free picks every single day at farleybets.com. Free picks on the BetUS NBA and NFL shows. And over there at the 33rd team, the things we're building over there in sports betting as well. Head of betting over there at the 33rd team. Okay. So first things first, you know, I like to have my rants at the beginning because a big thing that this podcast is all about is teaching the tactics and strategies of sports betting in a way that you can actually digest and understand, because that is a lost art in the world of sports betting, especially when it comes to those old crusty sharps who have no idea how to communicate anything to the 99.9% of public bettors who are just trying to learn how to make another buck. That's probably you, right? You don't do this every day. You don't do this 365 days a year, right? You're not building your power ratings necessarily. You have jobs, you have kids, you have families, things to do. So I'm here to help you with that and hopefully explain it in a much better way than what you're used to. A lot of these sports betting companies, my goodness, some of the content. It's so funny, right? Like you read like a write-up, right? Like, this is my pick at sportsbettingthing.com. And they just regurgitate stats, right? Like, this team is ranked 32nd on defense. This team is ranked, and then they're like, and this is my pick. Like, that takes no skill whatsoever, right? You're not expanding on anything. You're not talking about the situation, the psychology, the rivalry, possibly the head coaching, the matchup. Like, let's get into this stuff, right? Let's actually approach it in a way where we can sustain our winnings and keep on winning money. That's what we do here at Laying the Points. And on that note, my rant on today's show is about betting unit size and managing your bankroll. This is a huge area of growth for me the past year or two, because I used to be one of those guys too, who, right, keep like 1,000 or 2,000 in my account. Maybe I win 1,000, so I take it right out. I take it right out of my bankroll. And then what happens? Maybe I have a losing day. Maybe I have two losing days in a row. So all of a sudden, I have barely nothing left in my bankroll, right? Like, that probably happens to a lot of us, right? Like, you have 1,000 in your bankroll. You have a big day. So now you have 1,500 in your bankroll. So you take out 500, right? And then you have two or three bad days in a row. You're down to like $200, right? Like, that's not the way to do it, right? Keep the money in your account, whether you win or lose. sustain it, reduce your unit size. And you know, when I talk about your unit size, I'm not talking about what you think. I'm talking about those who have their minds in the gutter. I'm talking about the standard amount of money that you put on every bet, right? For everybody, that's different. For a seasoned pro handicapper in Vegas, every bet might be anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000, $100,000. I don't know. Like, some of these guys go nuts, right? Like, this is literally like they make millions or they lose millions. I won't tell you what mine is, somewhere in between, because I still have other gigs and stuff, right? This isn't my sole way of making money. But I'm keeping my money in my bankroll now. I'm not pulling out. And that's an important thing. Another important thing is don't sign up to a handicapper or sports bettors premium picks unless they give you different unit sizes to bet on these games that they have a side on, right? Like, listen, part of being a professional sports bettor, part of offering premium picks and a service to others is that you are able to say that you should put one unit on this play, or you should put two units on this play, or you should put 0.5 units on this play. Why? Because as a sports bettor, just like the stock market or any other investment, is it not your job to understand where there is more or less value? The answer is yes. And that's why a lot of these guys and girls have models, right? So they can feel like they're adequately measuring how many units they should put on something. I get that. That's very good. I have my own general models that I use. You know, it's not as hyper stats and Excel driven as most, because I pay a lot of attention to human behavior, psychology, situation, tendencies. To me, that helps me win a lot more than those regurgitated stats that you hear everywhere. But as a sports bettor, you need to be able to say, I'm going to put two units on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight because I love this number, -2 against whoever. But I'm going to put one unit on this bet on the Sacramento Kings in a good spot against a good team because I like the Kings tonight, but I don't like them as much as the Bucks, right? Some of these guys and girls out there, when they talk about their premium picks or their plays, it's all one unit, one unit, one unit, one, you know, it's a flat unit approach. That's okay if you're a beginner, but as you grow in this industry, as you mature, you need to be able to assign value to these plays, right? Or else what's the difference? Like, if I'm just putting, you know, if your unit size is a dollar, like $100, you're just putting that same thing every single day. What's the difference? You like this play exactly the same as you like that play? No, you don't. Like, that's not how things work, right? We all at least have our notions and feelings about our bets. Like, we feel really good about it for some reason. And a lot of times that's because we have a lot of historical knowledge, right? We know a lot about this team. Something about this number feels wrong. I need to bet on this because it's wrong, right? Like, those strong feelings, you should follow them. Once you have enough time betting, enough knowledge about these teams and how valuable they actually are, how good they actually are, you got to modify the amount of units that you're putting on those plays, period. You have to. That is how you win long term, right? If you stick to like one unit, one unit, one unit, one unit, if you stick to that forever, I get it doing that at first when you're figuring out the teams, the season. Like, I did that at first with college basketball this season. But now you're starting to see me mix in 0.5 unit plays, 0.75, 2 unit plays, 1.5 unit plays, because there are varying levels of value, right? And if you're just doing 1-1-1-1-1 over time, it's going to be really hard to gain a significant bankroll advantage, because you're not maximizing those opportunities where you know that you could probably win more money. And do they always work out? No. But that's why I say to my premium customers, I give you plays on a 1-5 unit scale. And you'll probably rarely ever see a 5. Probably once or twice a year, you'll see a 4. And maybe a handful of times a year, you'll see a 3. Not often, right? Because a 5-unit play is not the same as a 1-unit play. Historically, I'm 3-0 in 5-unit plays, by the way, right? Because you got to jump on those opportunities. And even if I lost one, even if I was 2-1, that means that I'm plus, you know, 9 units and then some, right? Because, you know, books take away some juice, right? You got to pay a little bit for every bet. But you have to modify your bankroll allocation. That's a part of this business. And as we learn and as we all grow together, I can talk more about that and what plays I like more. In fact, when I tell you about today's free picks, I'll tell you how many units I'm putting on them. How about that? Before I do that, let's get to my NBA power ratings. The All-Star break is over. The playoffs are looming. And so we have to talk about our NBA power ratings and where we stand at this point in the NBA season on these teams. This should take about 10 minutes. Hang in there. If you don't care about this part, skip ahead to my free picks. That's about 20 minutes into the show. Sounds good. Up to you. I appreciate you listening. I think you're going to gain some great knowledge by what I'm about to say, though. All right, let me fly through these power ratings. Number one, some people aren't going to like this. Too damn bad. The Milwaukee Bucks. The biggest reason why the Milwaukee Bucks are the number one power rated team, even over the Celtics and Nuggets and Warriors and Clippers at this point, are because, to me, the Bucks are adults. Right? You look at a team like the Celtics, Jason Tatum, he's turning 25 soon. That brain has not fully matured, ladies and gentlemen. He might go off in the All-Star game, and good for him. I like Jason Tatum a lot. But he ain't Giannis. He ain't 28-year-old Giannis with, I don't know how old Chris Middleton is. I mean, he looks like he's 40, but he's older than 25. Jrue Holiday. Now they have Jay Crowder. I'm telling you, this is a built team of adults. And Giannis's dominance, he hurt his wrist, right? Maybe a few games off. He'll be fine. As long as he can stay healthy, the Bucks are so deep. They did not make the finals last year. Revenge is on their mind. And we've seen when they decide to dominate, they dominate. And they have the most dominant player in the NBA. And they don't have to rely on three-point shooting, right? Like, I love that about the Bucks. Even the Celtics can get a little too three-point dependent. Lord knows, teams like the Warriors can. Even a team like the Nuggets, right? You need that shot from Jamal Murray. Lord knows, a team like the Mavericks, especially in the past, maybe not the new Mavericks with Kyrie. Bucks aren't three-point dependent. And in the modern NBA, if you can't stop the three, or if you need to make threes in big game situations, that's a tough, tough formula. Bucks are my number one team. But, and a quick caveat, the Celtics are a very close number two. And I must say, that last game between the Celtics and Bucks had me worried about the Bucks come playoff time, because the Celtics just seem to have the Bucks number. They really do. They knocked him out last year, and their defense, even without their two main stars in that last game, was really impressive. The Celtics are a great team. They are a young team who have still never got it done. And that could prove to work against them. But look, listen, the Bucks never got it done until they got it done, right? No team has. So the Celtics, they're growing. Their defense is second to none when they turn it up, when they fire on all cylinders. It just, for me, depends on Jason Tatum. He's going to have the ball in his hands at the final seconds of some of these big games. Can he do it at 25 years old? That's a big spot mentally for anyone at that age. Very, very, very few players can do it at that age. The Denver Nuggets, my number three team. Jokic is an all-world talent like we've never seen. Could very well be the NBA MVP again. He is averaging a triple-double, folks. Like, that's no joke. They are the clear number one team in the West. They're a very deep team. I mean, Jamal Murray makes this team sensational. I didn't have a problem with them getting rid of Bones Highland. I like Bones Highland, but I don't think they need him, right? And their defense at home has been impressive. If they can play that kind of defense in the playoffs, along with the efficiency and explosiveness of their offense with Jokic at the, you know, in the paint, kind of commanding everything, scary, scary team. Number four, probably much to the chagrin of many, I'm still keeping my Golden State Warriors. When Steph Curry comes back, watch out. And he will be back sooner than later. These are more adults. Been here before. Multi-time champions. Draymond Green, this defense plays different come playoff time and when it matters most. And obviously, they've been here before. They've done it before. Watch out for the Warriors. They're not going anywhere, folks. They will climb the, mark my word, they will climb the Western rankings before we get to the playoffs. They're not going to be the number 9 seed, which I think they are right now. Number 5, the Clippers. So I'm splitting this number 5 spot between the Clippers and the 76ers. I think they're even at this point. Clippers are my biggest X-factor team, though. They don't have a ton of time all playing together to build chemistry, but when they have recently, they've looked great. Kawhi and PG are legitimate stars. Kawhi's looking like himself again. Zubac has been fantastic, and we'll see about Russ. The thing about Russell Westbrook is I know, like, the commentary on him has been crazy, a little unfair if you ask me. You know, I mean, he's not like a bad person. He's, you know, but he's just not a great fit on most teams. Ty Lue is a great coach. I trust that he'll utilize him well. But you talk about a team with a tremendously high ceiling. The Clippers can get to the NBA Finals and win it. That's how good they are. And players like Trey Mann, right? Like, their ancillary players are starting to really step up and play even better because now that Kawhi and PG are healthy and comfortable, the whole team's getting better, right? That's what happens. Also, number 5 with the Clippers are 76ers. Embiid has been unstoppable. Their defense has been really good, really stepped up. I love that James Harden is taking a back seat. But they will need Tyrese Maxey in the playoffs to make a difference. Is Maxey ready for that role? He's been great as well. But is he ready for that role come playoff time? The Memphis Grizzlies are my number 7 team. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Great team chemistry. They have an attitude, right? They don't care what other teams in the West think about them. That's what Ja said. He doesn't care that other teams might have got offended by his remarks. I kind of love that about Ja. He's got a chip on his shoulder. They're an unselfish team, the way they play together. Hyper-paced. Could absolutely make it to the NBA Finals just because of the energy that they bring every single game. But in my opinion, they're still a little too immature. They're not developed enough as a team yet to overcome the Golden States or even the Denver Nuggets or even the Clippers. Cleveland Cavaliers, kind of the same story. They're still a little too new for me, but arguably one of the best, if not the best NBA roster top to bottom. Their two bigs make a difference every single game in Mobley and Allen. Their two wings in Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell really put them over as an exceptional offense. They're going to be a really tough team to beat in the playoffs, and they could knock some teams off. Like, I don't know if they're knocking off the Bucks or the Celtics, but they can knock off pretty much anyone else. Suns, adding Kevin Durant could be scary. Absolutely. And you know what? It's kind of perfect, isn't it? Because I've always said, Devin Booker is not a true number one. Well, if he was a true number one, then why the fuck did they bring over Kevin Durant? Exactly. Because he's not a true number one. If you see Devin Booker in big game situations, high pressure moments, he's not very good, especially in the playoffs. But he's a great shooter, a great spot shooter, pretty good with the ball in his hands. Lord knows Chris Paul is good with the ball in his hands. Now, they lost some depth. Bridges, Crowder, Cam Johnson, some good guys on defense too. But their defense has played well. Let's see if it can keep up. Miami Heat are number 10. Never count out the Heat. They've been doing this too long. Offense has been a liability this season, though, a little too inconsistent for me. And I do think Tyler Hero might be a little overrated. I know he had a great, like, you know, showing in the bubble, his breakout, but he might be a little overrated at this point. I think they depend on him a little too much. And I don't know if that's going to be good enough come playoff time. Going to be have to be a lot of Jimmy Butler, and that's a big load for him to handle too. The Mavericks, Kyrie and Luka could definitely be special, but I would argue they need more. If they can become maybe less three-point reliant, that's good. But can they step up on defense again like they did last year? Because now they got Christian Wood, they got Kyrie, great offensive players, not great on the defensive end. Luka can be lazy on the defensive end. I worry about them defensively in the playoffs. Now, they could blow teams away. They're going to embarrass some teams down the next 2 months, down the stretch of the next 2 months before the playoffs. They will embarrass some teams because Kyrie and Luka are going to be lethal at certain points. But an NBA Finals team that's going to, you know, overcome teams like the Clippers or the Warriors, how great those teams can be, I don't see it. I don't see it. The Knicks, not enough offensive depth for me for the Knicks, number 12. I'm getting tired of the Julius Randle show. It's not consistent enough. RJ Barrett is like a ghost. Him and Thibodeau don't get along. Obviously, Jalen Brunson is the man. That dude is the truth. He brings it every game, but I don't know if he's enough to either. Like, it's just a little too clumsy, disparate, and inconsistent for me. I do love that they have Josh Hart now. I think he's a great fit for them, but I don't know. The Knicks are always like, oh, it's exciting, and then they disappoint. I don't see much coming. The Hawks, I sensed that change was coming the other day. I have it in my notes, and sure enough, they just fired Nate McMillan. I kind of like that for the Hawks, a fresh beginning, a new era. Obviously, him and Trae Young weren't getting along, or something was going on there with Trae Young in the front office. I mean, Trae Young signed an extension in 2021, so he's there to stay. They got to figure things out there in the Hawks, but just too much change this season. They'll be a fringe playoff team, but I don't think they're going to do much. Lakers, I'm not ready to jump on the bandwagon yet, but listen, Anthony Davis, when he's healthy, it's a top 10 player when he's healthy and motivated, which isn't always the case. But the thing is, LeBron doesn't want to do it all anymore. He's been very clear about that, right? Like, he needs help. He's not a spring chicken. Now, he said he's going to play as much as he can to bring his team to the playoffs, and I'm sure he'll do something fantastic. And, you know, they look good with DeMarcus Russell on the team now. They look good. Or D'Angelo Russell. I don't know why I always say DeMarcus. Quarterback, right? But they look pretty good in that last game, but I'm not jumping on the bandwagon just yet. Back half of the NBA, I'll finish it off here. Pelicans, I don't know, man. Zion is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. I think they need him as their true number one to create space. Gritty team, but I'm worried it's not enough at this point. You know, especially with Brandon Ingram getting injured. Blazers, two Lillard and Simons, dependent. No paint defense. Fringe playoff team. The Nets are a very interesting team. They're a number 17 team. Expect them to knock off some teams down the stretch, especially teams that might not have the same, you know, chemistry that they could build. I mean, there's a lot of B-plus players on this team, and they're playing with an attitude. Dinwiddie, Bridges, Cam Johnson, Finney Smith, Claxton, Joe Harris. It's kind of a really solid team just without a true star, right? But I think they could knock off some teams that don't see it coming. Interesting team, the Nets. You put one star on that team, and I really like that team, actually. Kings, I think they're fake news. I have them as number 18. I think they're the third team in the West right now. They're number 18 in my power rankings. They got to start playing defense. They played it a little. We've seen the first half of the season, but not enough. They're too Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox dependent. I don't think it's sustainable, especially not the brand of defense they've played. Don't like it. Timberwolves, it's not their year. I feel bad for Anthony Edwards, man. He's such a good kid. Talking about how he expects, you know, NBA players should not be resting. They should be playing every game. People pay their tickets to come see them play. Speak the truth, Anthony Edwards. I love it. But this Gobert experiment hasn't worked. This is just an off year for the T-Wolves, if you ask me. And then as we round out the league, the Jazz are going to be a team that's just building. The Raptors, man, I wanted to play on them a lot this year, but it's not amounting to much. Offense is way too inconsistent. Wizards, tough team that can beat you if you're not paying attention to that game. But Kuzma is not enough. Beal is inconsistent, always injured. OKC is an exciting team. They can knock off a team or two. down the stretch. Great home record, fast-paced team. Again, though, not enough consistency on offense, not enough pure shooters. Bulls, forget the Bulls, man. I'm so sick of the Bulls experiment. You know, they go on a streak and they win like 8 out of 10 games, and then they lose like 7 games in a row. Forget the Bulls. Like, the Bulls aren't a team that you can ever depend on. The Magic are exciting, a growing team, developing team. But I think we're going to see them regress the back half of the season. And then it's Pacers, Hornets, Rockets, Pistons, Spurs, among some of the worst teams in the NBA. And the Pacers can be exciting with Halliburton. But again, a lot of these teams, I think, are going to be exposed these next 2 months. I think you want to fade a lot of those lower tier teams, because even big favorites, right? Like, we see the Warriors against the Rockets at home on Friday. Like, the Warriors are probably going to blow out the Rockets, right? It's -9 right now. Warriors are going to be on a back-to-back in that situation, and I still think they're going to blow out the Rockets, because these games matter now more than ever. More than ever. Especially for a team like the Warriors, who are not exactly in a prime spot right now before the playoffs. Teams I would definitely look to play on: the Bucks, the Warriors, the Clippers, the Suns. And like I said, I think that the Nets are going to really fool a few teams. Some of the higher performing teams the first half of the season, I mean, we're really 60 to 70% through the season, have been the Celtics, the Nuggets, the 76ers. Wouldn't be surprised if that just thinned out a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to drop in the rankings, but it's going to thin out a little bit. The West is going to get closer. The East is going to get closer. I think a team like the Heat could fall off. The Knicks could fall off. You know, maybe a team, who knows, maybe a team like the Nets or the Wizards step up. All right, let's move on, because that took more than 10 minutes. No, it's tough. Tough to talk about that in 10 minutes, isn't it? Let's get to our free picks, or just our thoughts on a few free picks. First of all, I love the Clippers on Friday night. They're -6.5. They're facing the Kings. The Kings are going to be off a back-to-back in that game. The Kings have to play the Trailblazers at home Thursday, and then they got to go over to L.A. to face the Clippers. And that's not the worst travel spot, obviously. It's still California. But like I said, Clippers are a team I want to play on. That's a 1.5 to 2 unit play on the Clippers for me, -6.5. 3-possession lead in that game. I don't think it's going to be tough for the Clippers to get that, to find that edge and to keep that edge in that game. They're fresh. They want to start winning consistently all the time. As we near the playoffs, Kawhi's healthy, and they've been winning a lot. I think they won 8 out of their last 10 games, or 10 out of their last 12, something like that. Play on the Clippers in that spot Friday, 1.5 to 2 units. As far as the Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury fight goes, here's my thoughts. You're getting Tommy Fury at plus money, right? I'm not going to put a lot of units on this. This is like a 1-unit play for me. But Tommy Fury is an actual boxer who has boxed other actual boxers. Jake Paul has boxed. He might be a real boxer, but he's boxed non-boxers, non-strikers, and older athletes. Color me unimpressed. For plus money, I'm taking Fury. And maybe this whole shit, maybe this whole fucking thing is rigged. I don't know. I don't think, I'm going to hope and pray that it's not. And I hope that Tommy Fury beats his ass. I'll just put it like that. It's a 1-unit play for me, plus 140. And finally, my biggest bet of the new year so far is going to be on John Jones. It's going to be a 4 to 5 unit play for me on John Jones to beat Ciryl Gane. Ciryl Gane is a fucking monster. That dude is massive. He's athletic. He can beat you with his striking. He's submitted guys before to a victory. But this is John Jones we're talking about. And it's not like John Jones just turned into heavyweight overnight. He's been training for heavyweight for 2 years, over 2 years, I think. He still has a reach advantage, a 3-inch reach advantage in this fight. I don't know what the measure of his kick reach advantage is, but it's probably really significant. He's really, really tough to beat. His wrestling is exceptional. Francis Ngannou gave Ciryl Gane real problems with his wrestling. And this is John Jones we're talking about. Pound for pound, to me, still the best UFC fighter, the best MMA fighter we've ever seen. And he's going to be stronger. I think he's going to move just fine because he's fucking John Jones. You're getting John Jones at minus 155 at DraftKings and around the same price everywhere else. You're not going to get John Jones at that price maybe ever again. I'm taking it, and I'm taking it for many units. That's my biggest play. That's the play that I would take if I were you from this podcast. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to Laying the Points. We gave you our NBA power ratings. We gave out some free picks. We talked about bankroll management. We'll talk to you again next week. See you next time on Laying the Points. Let's fucking go.